Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Hulley and Giannis Janaeus. This episode will be looking back at the massive 2-1 victory for Fulham against Cardiff City at Craven Cottage on Saturday. We also might have another co-host who could be joining us, just jumping in at the very end. I look forward to see if we have another co-host join us, because we have so much good stuff to talk about in regards to this match. I look forward to my Cottage Talk co-host joining me shortly. In the meantime, what I thought I would do, just to get us going, I was going to read the head coach reaction, but it looks like one of my co-hosts is on the line with me, so I'm going to bring him on. Would that be Mr. Hulley?
Hello, Russ, and hello to Giannis when he's on as well.
I'm going to bring
thanks
him on.
Very
once.
Much to, yeah, so thanks very much to moving the show back. Obviously, I thought it might be helpful for you to get more time for the highlight, for the replay to come on, but unfortunately not. But thanks
yes.
for delaying anyway, because I've had a nice afternoon of family tennis.
Not a problem, David. I'm glad that that we could do that to accommodate that, and that's great. And listen, we might also have Mr. Mike Gregg joining us. He just messaged me. He might be dropping in at the end, which would be great to have him on as well. But yes, the replay was not available before the show, so you're going to be, I guess you could say, the eyes for Giannis and I, and that's fine. We've done that before, so it's not a big deal. But I look forward, David, truly forward to going through this show with you. But before we do anything else, I have to bring Giannis on the line. I look forward to speaking to Giannis. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing?
Get out of there.
Ta-da. What is that?
Oh, the cat's fighting again. Get out of here. Little bastards. How's it going? How's it going, Russ? How's it going, David? It's been a good week.
Hi.
It's been a good weekend. Of course, we win, Chelsea lose, United get stuffed like cheap turkeys. So, lots to talk about, lots of good talking points, and it's been a good weekend.
It has been a very good weekend. Unfortunately for you, Giannis, it's been a pretty good weekend for my Boston Red Sox. So, you know,
yeah,
we're going against the Blue Jays, but, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for slipping that one in. Yeah, right.
Well, I'm watching the game, but well, I shouldn't say watching. And the game's on over my shoulder, and right now the Blue Jays are winning. But again, this is Sunday. We'll see how that plays out. But
yes,
it's been a very interesting start to the baseball season for the Red Sox. Enough of that. Let's talk about the game. And David, I'm just going to start with you. I'm actually going to read the head coach reaction. You know what? I'm going to read it before I get your thoughts, because I find it interesting, because I know it's going to be part of our discussion today, talking about the moves that were made and that weren't made. So I'm just going to read this to you and then share your reaction to what he shared and just your opening thoughts on the match. Sound good?
Yes, great.
Okay. Okay, these are the comments. It's right on the Fulham website from Slavisa Jokanović, head coach reaction. Quote, I believe we deserve to win this game. In the first 45 minutes, we were not aggressive enough, and we weren't brave enough. In the second half, we decided to press higher up the pitch and started to play a shorter game. We played very well in the second 45 minutes and created many chances, and Emerson scored the late goal to give us the 3 points. We didn't play well in the first half, and this certainly could have been my mistake. We started by playing a more direct game with long passes. This is not what we want to do. When we started to find the balance, it was a lot more positive. We generally have a target to play in the way that we did in the second half. David, what are your thoughts about what Slavisa had to share?
Hi. You got a bit of feedback on the line. I don't know if it's Giannis or yourself, but a bit of echo there. But yeah, I mean, it pretty much sums it up, really. We were second best first half. Cardiff were more up for it, played with more passion, more pace, more incisive movement. You know, sharp balls to feet and good running. We were second best, and I think, you know, they probably deserved a halftime lead. I don't think it was a massive gulf, but I think they did enough to deserve it. We did have a couple of obviously chances ourselves. Second half, very much different game, of course. You know, the introduction of Fredericks at half time, and probably, you know, I was talking to Mike about this, you know, and probably a big boot up the backside as well, I think, at half time, were the two big factors. Obviously, you know, Fredericks, you know what he's like. He's a quick runner. He likes to run around, and it did seem to it seemed to rub off on the rest of the team. We were much sharper second half, much more movement, more pace, much better sort of way of playing. So, and second half, I think we were more on top second half than they were first half, if you get my drift. So overall, we probably were the better team the whole match, you would say, on that, because I think the golf second half, although the stats, and this will be interesting, the stats are kind of a misleading one this week. Sometimes the stats tell you the truth, sometimes they don't. You look at the stats, there's only one real important stat that sort of counts there, which is the goals, obviously, and the shots on targets kind of backs that up. But otherwise, the stats don't really tell you, I think, how well we played second half in the end.
Well, it's interesting, David, because I'm going to go through the full-time stats, and I tend to agree with you on that, and we'll go into detail about the stats, because Fulham definitely, you know, again, I'm going based on what I listened to. Unfortunately, I have not seen it. I've seen the highlights. That doesn't really give me the flavor, and you can really give us the flavor of the second half, but it did seem, based on what I listened to, that we dominated, and you can really share your thoughts on that. And sometimes the stats back up what you watch. Sometimes they don't. All right, my friend, I'm going to bring back Giannis onto the line. Giannis? Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I can, Russ.
Okay, we're just getting a little bit of feedback on your line, so I don't know if it's if your microphone's too close or what. Just want to give you a little heads up
sound?
On that.
How's that sound?
That sounds better. Thanks, my friend.
Okay.
I want to get your thoughts on first of all, Savic's reaction after the match, and also just your overall thoughts on the result.
Russ, before I start, I know this is, and I apologize to listeners in advance here, but just because you and I are NFL fans, I just wanted to pay condolences to the death of Will Smith last night. Just for the
horrible,
for listeners, a former NFLer who got into an accident in New Orleans last night. And the guy that smacked into the back of him decided to pull a gun and shoot him in front of his wife and three kids. Absolutely senseless. And condolences to his family. Just terrible, terrible loss. I think a lot of NFL fans are feeling that. Slavisa yesterday, what he did was brilliant coaching. Because I love coaches that will say, you know what, my bad. You know, I made a mistake with the formation. The lineup wasn't quite according to plan. I realised at halftime there was a little bit of disequilibrium. It was reflected in the performance and the halftime score as well. And all credit to him, he made the changes in the second half. He switched up the formation, and we asked a lot more questions of him in the second half. And you know, we were really pounding the door down in that last 10 minutes. And how fitting it is that Emerson Hyman on his birthday would get the winner. It's a tremendous win. And I think it's even funnier because I've been hearing about the chants of the Cardiff City supporters yesterday. And having been to a Welsh university, I know how much hatred they had towards us. So for Hyman to score the winner when he did is a good, nice, good stuffing to send them back with their sorry little bottoms back on the M4 back to Wales.
Oh, very good there, Giannis. Very interesting take there. I'm still getting a little feedback for whatever reason.
Do you want me to hang up? I can hang up and try back.
Yeah, if you don't mind, my friend, hang up and try dialing back. And I want to get you in as clearly as we can, my friend.
Okay, I'll do it now. Okay.
Okay, not a problem. While I do that, David, I want to go back to you because Giannis shared something that I've been thinking about, and you and I have discussed a great deal about this. You've been critical of Slavisa sometimes when, say, he doesn't start Ryan Fredericks. This is another occasion where he doesn't start Ryan Fredericks. I'm curious your thoughts on this because I fall where Giannis is. You might disagree. He made a mistake. He's admitting he made a mistake. He corrected it. My question to you is that good enough for you, or are you just in your mind he shouldn't have made the mistake to begin with?
Well, it's obviously better than making a mistake and not correcting it, of course. I mean,
right.
Now we have to put up with Kit picking Jazz Richards every week because he liked him or he thought he was good. He couldn't see what everyone else could see. At least Slavisa seems to have worked that one out there, for example. But, you know, I've been a big fan of Ryan Fredericks, not because of his, you know, overall talent, because, you know, he's not the best player. You know, he's not the best defender. He hasn't got the best pass or whatever, but he kind of brings an energy to the team that we're lacking with most other people. He will run for you until he can't run anymore. Unfortunately,
right.
It doesn't always last the 90 minutes. But he runs, and you know, and this point in the match, and at least you've had the chance to see it on the highlights. He
yes.
makes a brilliant tackle, as I told you
Tremendous.
About yesterday.
Tremendous,
yeah.
David.
You know, he's reached into the penalty area with both feet, kind of thing, and plucked the ball from someone. Brilliant tackle. And you watch it on the thing, and literally from then the ball is hit forward by Stearman to McCormack, who then heads it, and Fredericks is at the other end, sort of less than 10 seconds later. He sprinted the whole length of the pitch and got there, and you know, into a brilliant situation. He could have almost gone himself, but he's tried to do the unselfish thing and pulled it back for Dembele. But that's the sort of, you know, just encapsulates the kind of energy and freshness that he can bring. And, you know, I've been saying he should be in the team because if we're going to play this kind of negative defensive football, then at least have someone who's got the pace to do that. If you're going to sit back and then catch them on the break like we did yesterday, really.
Right.
And it was a big difference him coming on at half-time. And, you know, the thing that just worries me is that, you know, I'm just an amateur guy who's been watching football for years, but I was pretty confident that he should be starting, really. And then Slavica comes at half-time and says, oh, yeah, basically I've made a mistake, he should be playing. So, you know, why is it that I'm right and Slavica wasn't right on these things? Why does Slavica not see these things? I know, and I'm not trying to say that I know everything, but a lot of people have been saying the same sort of thing. They want to see Fredericks playing. They don't think, you know, especially, again, you know, the other night up at Preston, he did well. I take the point that Mike says that maybe he's not a 90-minute player. Perhaps
That's
his
right.
fitness isn't good enough. But still, I think you should start with your best team, really.
Okay.
We've had this kind of argument before, remember, with
no,
Ashton DeJaga. Remember the DeJaga thing?
I totally remember that, and that's why, before we get into breaking down the match, this is something that this is a great talking point that I wanted to go through with both of you. It's come out naturally talking about Ryan Fredericks, because I was just about to ask you, if you could only play him for one half, would you start him or would you have him come off the bench? Sounds like you are the mindset. If you could only have him for one or two halves, you would start him.
I think, you know, because I said yesterday in the text chat we have, in, you know, among the co-hosts, that,
yep.
you know, basically we're going to put ourselves in a situation where we're going to have to come from behind to win it. And that's exactly what happened. Because, you know, first half we weren't good enough. Cardiff had the edge. We didn't have the questions to ask Cardiff. So we put ourselves behind. And historically this season, I'm not sure if we've actually come behind to win a game at all. This might have been the first time. So
sure.
why make it hard for yourself by keeping back, in inverted commas, your best player to the second half? I know he's not our best player, but you know what I mean. Why keep these people back until you're in a position when you're behind and chasing the game? Why not, you know, I would say start with them. You know, get your noses in front. Let the opposition chase the game. Because normally when you chase the game, you know, you have to abandon sometimes your game plan, and that gives you more chances. I mean, that's what we used to do at home. That's what made us so good before,
sure.
you know, when the Cottage was a fortress. We got our noses in front, and teams that would come to play for the draw, perhaps, because they'll be happy to come for a draw, even the bigger clubs in the Premier League, they then had to chase the game. And quite often we had, you know, the ability to unlock them when we had Danny Murphy and Duff and Zamora.
Right.
Exactly. So why put yourself at a disadvantage? Start with the team that, you know, that can do the best job for you straight away, rather than having to change it when you're chasing the game.
Again, that's one side of an argument. That's why I want to talk about it. I see where you're coming from, but I want to get Giannis's thoughts. I'm not going to bring Giannis back on the line. Giannis is back with us. Giannis, this is something that I was thinking about before the show, because I wanted to discuss. I knew it would come up when we talk about Ryan Fredericks, because Mike messaged all of us. We're talking about, he was mentioning he feels that he just might not be fit to go 90. So then you're a head coach. You have to choose. When is the best time to use him? In this instance, he uses him in the second half to come off the bench, and it makes a dramatic difference. David has made a strong argument. Why not start him so you can get your noses in front? Where do you fall on this?
I'd start him in the second half, and I think that Slavica did the right thing, if only because you can assess what's happened in the first half. And remember, it's 45 minutes of wear and tear. Fredericks is pretty quick. He's pretty direct, and I was glad he was brought on at halftime because, you know, he's gonna go at them and he's gonna cause their fullbacks lots of problems. And I was just thinking, just pondering here, if you look at all the head coaches we've had going back even 10, 15 years, and I'm including Roy Hodgson in this as well, how many coaches have we had who have turned around and said, you know what, and turned to the media, and of course, if you're talking to the media, you're talking to the fans, you know what, I screwed up. I screwed up with the lineup. It was all wrong, and I made changes at halftime, and I realized the mistake I made, and I made the adjustments at halftime. Now, I can't think of one. And you know what? I'm the first one to say, and I would say to the players, I'd say, you know what? I didn't get that quite right. If I'm going to have a go at you for the way you play, if I'm going to have a go at what you're doing beyond the white lines, then I should be, you know what, honest enough to admit when I've made mistakes too. And that's what I really like about him. He's straight and he's honest, and he is right. He did make a mistake with that first half. It did look sort of odd. He did make the adjustments. And it came up trumps in the second half. And that's why, you know, I've got a tremendous amount. Since he was appointed, Russ, I don't believe I've said anything negative about him, because I remember what he did at Watford. He's a tremendous coach. And the last three games, we've shown the ability to tough results out. You know, against the odds, all 2-1 games, one of them obviously coming back. The Preston victory was tremendous. I mean, that's a difficult – Deepdale's a difficult place to go to, let alone in midweek. And three on the spin, and it's a confident bunch. And he's still evaluating the squad as well. So, you know, right. Kudos to him. But to answer your question, Frederick's to me second half. But I'm going to give him huge, you know, hats off for having, you know, being honest enough to admit that he'd made a mistake in the first place.
Right. And I was thinking the same thing. You and I are on the same wavelength on this. I was trying to think – has there been a manager that has come out or a head coach and said, you know what, I got this wrong, and I decided to change it at halftime? I was also thinking, Giannis, before I go back to David, let's say we still have Kit in charge. Does Kit make the change at halftime?
No. No, and I don't – listen, I don't and I'm not gonna be negative towards Kit here.
I'm not trying to slam him. I'm just trying to compare the managers, the differences, because Kit did a job for us. I'm just saying that was not his style. He would not. I do not think he would have done that at halftime.
Slavisa is a better coaching game, and to me, you can put a lineup out, but what happens if they throw something at you that you're not sure, that is causing you big problems? You have to have the ability mid-game to maybe change a formation, to bring substitutions on, switch things around, and that's where Slavisa really does show. He did it at Watford. And I've seen the last three games, obviously evidence where he's reading game situations. He's got a very good assistant coach with him too. And I've gone on about it for years, but one of the big losses for our club was Ray Lewington, because when Louis was with Roy Hodgson, and then after, he was the backup voice. And, you know, if the manager didn't see something, he saw something. And together, of course, they'd work together to make adjustments. And since then, you've not really seen that, but this guy in now is obviously helping. They've thought this through. And the second half, it was clearly a different team. And Cardiff made very few adjustments, and they just couldn't cope. And let's not forget, this was a massive game for Cardiff, a huge game. This defeat has taken them 5 points off the playoff spot. We have Brighton and Hove Albion on Friday, and that's an equally big game as well. So the fun bit about what we're doing at the moment is we're getting points to move us up the table, but we're also playing the role of spoilers. And there's a lot of fun in being a spoiler. Trust me, it's nice to see the misfortune of other teams that desperately need it to go up or stay up, and knocking them off their perch. So, but anyway, back to the premise. Yeah, I think Slavisa did. He's a better in-game coach than Kit was.
Okay, very good, David. Over to you. Before I go to you to tell us a little bit about the first half, any final thoughts on our conversation? I want to give you the final word.
Well, I think there is also another option, I suppose, that Slavisa's just another Alex Ferguson, and he's very good at mind games and twisting things and, you know, playing games with the press, I don't know. But on the face of it, I guess he agrees with my kind of idea then, because if he says, I've made a mistake and I changed it at half-time, then he's almost saying, yes, I should have started Frederick. So kind of that's the implication I get from it anyway. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've won the game. It was a fantastic performance second half. First half, not so good, but second half. And as Yanis says, you know, we've ground out three, you know, potentially banana skins, really, they were, all of them. I mean, Milton Keynes was a massive banana skin. Preston, you know, we haven't won there since 1853 or something, or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
It's been that bad midweek. You know, 2-1 wins at a time when we really, really needed them. And, you know, we've got, you know, 9 points in three games. And, you know, it's changed the whole complexion of the table. I mean, we're not mathematically safe, but the table is starting to look, you know, very, very settled now for the bottom three, really, let's say. And they've got all the work to do. So, you know, we've put ourselves in a great position.
I totally agree there, David. Very, very good. And listen, that's why I'm glad that we could kind of go off the beaten path a little bit, talk about a different topic every once in a while during the post-match show. And then there are a couple here, so that's why I'm glad that we could set everything up and now really get in and dive in and talk about the match and break it up into halves. And like you said, David, you've already touched on this. The first half obviously was nowhere near what the second half is, so I'm just going to get your thoughts. You just paint the picture for us. I'll just mention real quickly, Fulham had a few different chances to score in the first half. They had the opportunity early from Moussa Dembele. Then they had that nice run from Emerson Hyman. He took a shot on target, really nice opportunity there. And then, of course, you had the opportunity on the free kick from Ross McCormack. So they had a few opportunities in the first half, but unfortunately Fulham gave up that goal on the header from Lex Emmers late in the first half. And unfortunately Fulham were down at the half 1-0. That's just to give you some of the highlights. David, I want you to paint the picture for us with Fulham in the first half.
Well, just obviously I'll start very quickly with the lineup, and we went with the same kind of what we expected, basically four central defenders, four central defenders actually, but the four defenders and the four central midfielders in front of them. The surprise, I guess, was that I think there was probably a little bit of double bluff in the press conference that we were supposedly not carrying any injuries, but kind of not unexpected that Kearney and Ream were missing, as they were both withdrawn injured at Preston midweek. So, of course, this was the big thing. What are they going to do with that? And so, with Ream, I think we said that maybe we'd see Amad Bieta there and Stearman would play in the middle. But, in fact, they brought Garbutt back and left Amad Bieta to play alongside Maddell. The shock a little bit was the fact that Fredericks, obviously, as we've talked about, didn't start. And then in midfield, the place of Kearney was taken by Emerson Hyman, of course. But the difference was that, compared to last time, that Tunnicliffe switched to the right and Hyman to the left. So in terms of the first half, you say that we had the three opportunities, really. The shot from Dembele, a little bit speculative from distance, went over the bar. The other two, I think, fairly comfortable saves for a reasonable goalkeeper like Marshall is. The shot from Hyman, and this is where we saw Hyman at his best yesterday. First half, he was a bit subdued apart from that chance, but he was doing a bit like Tom Kearney would do from the right, where Tom Kearney obviously comes inside on his left foot into a central position. That's what we saw from Hyman. He was coming inside into a central position on his right foot, of course, from the left flank. So on the left flank himself, I don't think he did anything, to be honest with you, Hyman. But when he came inside and was playing in the middle, that's when we saw him at his best, really. But the two chances, as I say, fairly comfortable, really. Saves for both, as you've seen on the replay. I think one of them, maybe the one from Hyman, I'm not sure if the goalkeeper was doing it for the cameras again, maybe made it look a bit spectacular. Fairly comfortable save as well from the free kick from Ross. Otherwise, you know, we didn't really create a lot. It was a very bitty half. Struggled to kind of, you know, play with any sort of any real sort of purpose, and we weren't buzzing the ball around, but Cardiff were buzzing the ball around. They were up for it that bit more, and you see, obviously, just before half time, they've got their noses in front, and this is where I question, the playing the defensive players on the flank. We had Tunnicliffe in front of Stearman on the right hand side, and yet they carved us apart far too easily. You know, the ball was played outside of Stearman, and the guys run through to get onto it. So he's put a nice little cross in, he's dinked a cross over. And I think because Stearman was kind of caught out there, Maddell and Amabriette have been drawn towards the near post. And so at the back post, and this is the big debate The only two players anywhere near were Garbett and Parker, and yet they were nowhere near the Cardiff City player. He had an absolutely free header, a lovely height, lovely pace, just to put it past Bettinelli. Bettinelli didn't stand a chance there. I tend to think that Garbett should have been back more because he's a defender, but you could question whether Parker should have been there as well. But anyway, you know, they made it far too easy. They pulled us apart far too easily. And, of course, you know, very disappointing end to the half. But as you see, things were, you know, shook around at half-time and we came out a much better team for it.
Okay, very good there, David. Very, very good analysis of the first half. And thank you for talking about the starting 11. Another Goldman, and it wouldn't be a show without a Goldman. I forgot to ask your thoughts on the starting 11. So there you go. Thank you, my friend. What, nothing to say?
Nope. Yeah. No. Sorry, I just, yeah, that's fine. Sorry. I mean, thanks, yeah. No problem.
Excuse me. All right, Giannis. What are your thoughts on what David had to share and also just the fact that the Fulham were down 1-0 at the half?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ross. Okay. Any thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with David. I mean, it was a bit of a bitty first half. It sounded like it was flat. I'm not sure there was as much at stake in the game as there was for Cardiff, just because of where they were in the table. I think at that point, 7 points in front of the MK Dons, I think that more or less, you know, unless you saw an absolute miracle, they're not going to come back from that. But it looked like we were a little. It was almost like it was a bit of a hangover from Tuesday night. That was such a big win. It was going to take time to adjust. The goal was easy, and I think we've given away far too many of them. That's one thing. Just looking ahead to next year, especially with the way it's looking right now. You know, Villa, Newcastle, Sunderland coming down. Wigan look like they're going to come up from League One. It's going to be a very tough division next year, and if we have any hope of being promoted back to the Premier League, we have got to be 7,000% better in terms of conceding goals. And we've given away too many easy goals this year. And that's been, you know, it's not like they've been very, very good goals. They've been some absolute, you know, corner kicks unmarked, you know, rebounds, missed marking, just dysfunctional defending, in other words. So, half-time at 1-0, I think maybe we might have been even luckier that we weren't two goals down, but at least it gave Slavisa and the coaching staff a chance to probably give the boys a bollocking, and I reckon they probably did get one at half-time in front of their own fans. They were flat as pancakes, and he wanted a response, and he got it in the second half.
Okay, very good, my friend. And like I said, I forgot to ask your thoughts on the starting 11. David already shared his work. What did you think when the match began? I apologize. I screwed up there.
Well, I laughed. I laughed at the 11, but only because I knew there'd be moaning from a lot of people because of who was in there. And I've said it all along, and I'm going to keep saying it. He is evaluating his squad. I mean, Emerson Hyman would have been a surprise. Fredericks not being in would have been a surprise to many. Would it have been a chance to bring Chris Baird back in the lineup? Lasse Vigan was obviously available. Is there a chance maybe to bring him in the lineup? But he's put in a lineup that looks pretty functional. I'm glad to see that Ryan Ince started, and he's done very well on his loan spell. And I'm hoping and fully expecting that he's going to get a chance to be with us next year. But you know, it looked the 11 out there are still capable of beating Cardiff City. Let's be honest, there's a lot of experience there. Premier League experience as well as Championship experience. It's not to say that we don't have the players that started, but I think if there was any question mark that I had, actually it was having Madeline Amabieta at the back. Dan Byrne seems to be the odd man out at the moment, and I'm getting, to be frank with you, a little bored of fans shitting all over him. I'm just fed up of it. He's a young defender, and you know, bringing these statistics in, like, well, the number of goals we've conceded with Dan versus the number of goals we've conceded without Dan. Well, guess what? Dan is one defender. And in any sort of team, really, when you lose the ball, you really should have, you know, 11 players defending. So you can't just pinpoint him. You're scapegoating the lad. He's an easy target. And I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's appropriate. So that's the only thing I might have questioned about the lineup, the Muddle,
okay.
The Muddle, Amabieta line pairing.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Excellent stuff. Great show so far, even though I've made a bunch of Goldmans, but that's beside the point. David, it's time to go over to the second half, all right? I'm just going to just give you some information, but I really want you to paint the picture. I'm just going to jot down some information just to set it up, and then you can go wherever you want on this because there's a good amount to get through with the second half. Obviously, it starts with Ryan Fredericks coming on from Michael Maddow. That was a surprise, Michael Maddow coming off. Hopefully, he's not injured. I haven't heard anything. Let's just hope he's not injured. But just as the half began, Scott Parker scores. As he was set up beautifully by a pass from Moussa Dembele, that was also a pass before that was from Ross McCormick, got to Dembele, then eventually to Scott Parker, great finish. So Fulham level very early on at 1-1. Then in the 54th minute, David, this is what you and I were talking off air. You had Ryan Fredericks make an impact as he made a last-ditch tackle on Scott Malone to deny Cardiff City a serious scoring chance. This was followed right up by him setting up Moussa Dembele, who unfortunately had his shot blocked. Another significant moment in the second half was the return of LVC coming on the pitch as a sub for Ryan Tunnicliffe. Later on, the 77th minute, you had Chris Beard coming back on for Scott Parker. Fulham were going for the victory late on. They had many chances to score. David, you certainly can share your thoughts on several of them if you'd like, including Moussa Dembele, but there were many of them. There were many opportunities in the second half, and they just could not get the goal to go ahead. But they did at the very end in stoppage time. They had the comes off a play of corner kick, and Rowan Ince keeps the ball alive. Eventually, he gets it to Lasse Vigen Christensen. He pulls it back before going out of bounds, and it goes right to Emerson Hyman, and he scores the winning goal for Fulham. Incredible ending to this match. His birthday, like you mentioned, David, what a present. He actually scores the winning goal. Share with me your thoughts on the second half, my friend.
Well, I think the defining moment in the second half was probably that from kickoff, rather than waste the ball, we've put it to good use straight away and we've caught them cold. And I think, you know, that really was a big setback for Cardiff for us to get back in the game so quickly. And they didn't really recover much from that. You know, as you said, it was a couple of passes, came out to McCormack, he played it, sort of diagonal ball in towards the feet of Dembele. Parker was running on ahead of him and Dembele just chipped it literally, lifted it over the defender to Parker and he's hit it on the volley left foot. Wait, the ball's bounced once and then he's hit it on the volley left foot past the keeper. You know, and great delight, a real shock one to see Scott Parker, the guy running forward, you know, beating the defence. But, you know, great, really pleased for Scott Parker to do that. And that was just a great start. Couldn't have been a better start. I mean, I'm sure there were some people hadn't even got back to their seats hardly. It was that early in the second half. And that really did kind of set the pattern. Regarding the substitution, I thought we'd see Ryan Fredericks coming on instead of Tunnicliffe and perhaps playing, you know, in a midfield position, because Tunnicliffe had been hobbling around or limping around for a bit of the last bit of the first half, and I thought he's picked up a knock or something, and he's not going to carry on. But in fact, it was Maddow, which was a surprise, because for me, Maddow was probably at half time, Maddow was probably my man of the match. I thought he'd marshalled the defence excellently, and there wasn't really much he could do with the goal, but he had, you know, been snuffing out a few dangerous scenarios. So it was quite a shock to see him go off. So I don't know if he picked up a knock or something, or if he was just, you know, tired because he's played every game recently. But that was a surprise for me, most certainly. So, of course, Stearman has gone over to play centre-back and Fredericks has come in right-back. And as you say, then we had that fantastic moment, and it was, you know, it's two things in one from Fredericks. You know, the brilliant last-ditch tackle in the penalty area. And as I say, literally, he's got up. It's been kicked forward by Stearman, flicked on by McCormack, and then he's beat the defender to the ball as well, Fredericks. He's been running all right the pitch. He's, you know, I'd love to see that timed, how far he ran in what time. It must be, you know, in the league almost with top sprinters, the amount of ground he covered. And of course, he's got through, and there was a question he could shoot, but he's tried to do the right thing. He's taken out the goalkeeper by pulling it back. Perhaps it was just behind Dembele a little bit. in any case, Dembele's just taken too long, obviously, to gather the ball and compose himself, and it's just allowed the defenders the chance to block him. Otherwise, you know, we had a certain goal on there, I think. And then you mentioned about Christensen. So perhaps Tynecliffe, I don't know if Tynecliffe did have a knock or not, but to be honest, he wasn't very effective, Tynecliffe. You know, he doesn't seem to like playing in the wide positions. He does his best and he runs around, but he's at his best when he's in the middle, I think. And we saw LVC come on, who has played that sort of right midfield role much more often. And although, again, he's a central midfielder, really, I think he's quite at home doing that. And it was a good start for Christensen. He was involved with quite a lot of stuff. He got straight back into things. There was no real kind of time for him to sort of find his feet. He was away from the start. And as I say, the second half, it was mostly one-way traffic. Not completely, but mostly one-way traffic. Without there being, you know, a surfeit of chances, we still had some good situations. As you say, there was obviously the chance for Dembele, which was set up by Fredericks, and then we had a few sort of corner situations. You know, the one where as well, where it'd been a ball again from I think it was there. Yeah, Dembele was free in the middle, and he only had one man to beat. And I thought, is he going to go and take it on? But he actually played a diagonal ball for McCormack, but the defender just got there and poked it out for the corner, just in front of him. And Mabieta had a header from a corner that it may have been that corner where it's kind of flashed across the goal rather than winning. I don't think he saw that one on the highlights. So he had a reasonable chance where he could have done better, I think, from that. And obviously it came towards a frantic few minutes. Scott Parker was replaced by Baird, which was unsurprising, really. I think saw that one coming. Baird sort of slotted back in there alongside of Ronins. And I have to say, Ronins had an excellent game, really. He was doing exactly what, you know, we need from him. He was big and he was strong. He was making sure that, you know, we kept possession or we won possession back. Then we had just before the end there, the shot from McCormack took a deflection off a defender. It was one of those that was going to almost looping over the goalkeeper. Had it been another few yards out, it would have looped over the goalkeeper into the net. But it just cleared the crossbar, led to the corner from which we got the winner. And it was a low corner in by McCormack. Chris Baird tried to kind of flick it at the near post, I think, do one of these ones where you flick it through your legs backwards. But he missed it, went straight across goal. But Rowan Ince was at the back post and managed to keep it in play. He's played it to Christensen, and Christensen's taken a deliberate heavy touch first. So he's kind of takes him past the defender straight away, but just about enough space to pull it back. And Hyman was there and slammed it from an angle into the corner. And, you know, mass delight at the cottage. And, you know, so pleased for everyone. Pleased for Hyman on his birthday as well. And just, you know, to the fact that we've actually come from behind and we scored a goal in injury time, a late goal. Whereas, you know, normally it's the other way around. It's the first time I think we've seen this scenario for a while. And, you know, real delight at the cottage. And, you know, great feeling of euphoria.
Okay, very good. Thank you, David. Really great analysis there. Giannis, before I go to you, I have a little bonus for all of us. It looks like our Cutters Talk co-host is on the line with us, Mr. Mike Gregg. Should I bring him along?
Yeah!
No.
Mr. Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Russ. If you can't gate crash a Cottage Talk show after 3 wins in a week, I don't know when you can.
Mike, it's great to have you on. You were there at the cottage. We've had David's view of it. I want your view of the game.
It was definitely a game of two halves, and you know, Cardiff were the better side in the first half, and you know, we weren't really at the races. We were, you know, defending okay. We weren't creating enough, and then you know, we let a typical goal in. But second half, and I didn't quite hear all of David's comments, but second half, pretty much from the kickoff, you could tell that, you know, we'd made the substitution, but they'd all had a rollicking, I think. And suddenly we were a different team. And, you know, Fredericks made a difference, and then LVC did as well when he came on. And I thought we were, you know, thoroughly deserved the final result. And, you know, draw would have been okay, but there's nothing better than winning in injury time, be it at home or away. And, you know, it was quite an emotional goal when it went in. for everyone. And as you know, I screened it on Periscope, and a lot of people saw it live as well. And yeah, it was a great atmosphere. It was a great win, and you know, saw Dave after the game, and yeah, it was a good day all round in the end, and thoroughly deserved.
Okay, excellent, Mike. The way we started the show, you know, I decided to change things up a little bit and go through a couple talking points. And one of the talking points was something that we were messaging back and forth about, and that was Ryan Fredericks. Should he start? Should he come off the bench? And you were messaging to us that you just don't think that he's fit to go for 90. So then I asked the question, when is the best time to use him? If you could only use him for, say, a good 45 to 60 minutes, when is the best time to use him? Is it to start the match? David thinks the best time to use him is to start the match. Giannis actually says to come off the bench is he could be even more effective because he can make a huge impact. Where do you fall on this? I'm curious.
Well, there's always an argument about you pick your best 11 to start a game. But I think with Fredericks, we've seen that when he starts, you know, he's not. Let's be honest here, he's not the best right-back, defensive right-back there is. He made a great tackle yesterday, I have to say, in the penalty box. But, you know, he's there for his pace and getting into the final third. And when he has started games, you can see him almost at 75, 80 minutes. You know, he's a Duracell bunny just running out of gas. And for me, he's more of a shock tactic. We get the best performances from him when he comes on as sub. And, you know, we're not the best at holding on to lead, so it's not even a case of us going, get a good hour out of him and then make a change and defend for half hour, because that's just not the way. If anything, we are now a stronger team in the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes of a game than we've ever been, in, you know, probably since Joel. And and somebody did say, who was at the Preston game, and you know, he was on his feet at the end of the game, and he you know, he was shattered. So I think, you know, Fredericks, he's never played as many games. I had a look at his history this morning. Never played as many games as this. And he clearly, you know, because he's all about pace and power, I think he's struggling to do the whole 90-minute stuff. So we're going to see games where he starts and then he might drop down to the bench. And I think against Cardiff, you can't say Jokanović got it wrong, you know, in that regard. And, yeah, bring him on at halftime, bring him on at an hour. And he's that, for me, he's that shock tactic, that something extra to change things.
Okay, very interesting, Mike. And another thing that we're talking about that kind of goes along with this, Savisa, in his reaction after the match, it's on the Fulham website, he actually says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, I might have made a mistake here talking about the tactics for the first half. So Giannis brought up a good point. When is the last man? He could not think of the last manager that has actually admitted a mistake in a presser afterwards. I actually think that's a good quality to see someone say admit their mistake and actually do something about it in the second half. Well, what are your thoughts about Savisa's approach?
Well, I think he does come across as honest. I mean, I saw those comments, and you can read it a number of ways. You know, made a mistake with the selection, or was it the tactics? And I think probably it was more the tactics than the selection, because we were going a bit long and we gave them a lot of the ball. And in the second half, you know, Fredericks was an outlet. LVC came on, kept the ball well and kept it moving. And we just stepped up a gear. So, but to have a manager who, and that's not the first time he's admitted he's made a mistake, we spoke about it a few weeks ago. We have to get used to this manager who is willing to change tactics game by game, and then also during games as well. And, you know, he was in deep, I tweeted it yesterday, he was in deep conversation with his coaches, then also McCormick, all before he took Parker off as well. So, you know, he's always looking at what he can do to change a game and get the best out of, you know, the situation. So I'm all for it. The last manager who admitted making a mistake, I don't know. I don't even remember Roy doing it. Certainly not Sanchez, because he would never admit to making a mistake. I don't know.
He wasn't.
I don't know. It's a... Yeah, sorry, go.
Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Somebody
said that.
Myself.
No, Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I can't think of one who's been so honest in such a short amount of space of time. Like I say, it's not the first time he has admitted he's made a mistake, and he's man enough to say it. And
right.
There were doubters 2 or 3 weeks ago about Jokanović, and even on this show, but I've always thought that he is the right man for the job.
Right, and Mike, I'm right there with you. And listen, I'm a fan of a team here that has a head coach that does what Savisa does, and I'm used to it. So that's kind of what I expect. I want to see someone do this, and Savisa does what a head coach here does, and that gives me hope, because that's actually what I'm used to. It's also, I think, a winning form of someone that's willing to change things when they've made mistakes. You know, I think that's a good thing. My other talking point goes along with this is that I'm just asking the question. I'm not trying to slam Kit, but I don't think Kit makes the change at halftime, even if he got it wrong.
Well, no, what did we say all through Kit stuff? He's not proactive, he's reactive. So you would be 2 goals down, then he would make a change. But we've got
right,
a manager who made changes even with. Yeah, we've got a manager who made changes even when we were winning. You know, he's always looking to make a change. And I don't know if Dave saw it yesterday, but he was on that touchline. He was urging players to get forwards in that second half. We were going too deep. And, you know, you don't want to criticise managers, but let's be honest, Simons was a very more sort of, you know, he did have his hands in his pockets, one of those criticisms of him. And he wasn't being proactive on the sideline. And, you know, it's chalk and cheese what we're looking at.
Okay, very good. All right. Mike, thank you so much for joining us for the end of the show. Giannis, I want to go to you. I haven't got a chance to get your thoughts on the result. You know, obviously you've seen the highlights. Just your thoughts on the second half and how it all turned out.
Yeah, the second half comeback, absolutely brilliant. Scott Parker, I can't think of any more. I can't think of enough superlatives. Absolutely unbelievable. It's my hope that he's back next year. Maybe we give him a coaching role. The fans were fantastic. And we looked like a different team. The substitutions worked. I'm still waiting to see what happened with Michael Maddle, whether it was an injury or whether it was tactical. It sounds like Maddle had a good first half. So if it was tactical, it's an even braver decision. And if it is tactical, then Slavisa deserves a lot of credit for taking a player who's playing well on the day, but taking him off to sacrifice him in terms of, you know, team function, in terms of adjusting the formation to you know, ask more questions of Cardiff. Very, very good, very good second half. And you know what? I've seen very few Fulham fans who are not buoyed by this particular result. They tend to be a bogey side for us, Cardiff. We've not fared well against them over the years. And it's doubly satisfying considering it was such a big game for them as well. So,
yeah,
very pleased with the comeback. And Mike got it absolutely right. You nothing beats winning a game in injury time. I mean, it is. But then again, nothing beats losing in injury time either. But to win it in injury time, it's emotional. The fans go home very happy. You know, they can give middle finger salutes to the Cardiff supporters as they head off on the M4, which gives me great joy indeed. And, you know, it's Fulham fans, we're going to be very excited about the game on Friday night down at Brighton because I think we'll give a good account of ourselves down there.
I have a good feeling about that match. I can't believe I'm going to say that, but I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed with them earlier in the season. Giannis, I think it's a winnable match. I can't believe I'm saying this. Well, you
yep.
guys should expect because I'm positive anyways. But
yep.
I have a good feeling about it, but we'll talk about that later in the week. All right, Mr. Holly, I'm going to go through the full-time stats, go right back to you because, like you mentioned, I don't know if they really, really show exactly what happened here. Let's start with possession. Fulham had 47%. Cardiff had 53%. Total shots in favor of Cardiff, 20-12. On target in favor of Fulham, 5-3. Corners in favor of Fulham, 7-6. Crosses in favor of Cardiff, 18-16. Tackles in favor of Fulham, 24-16. Attempted passes in in favor of Cardiff, 468 to 415. Attacking passes in favor of Cardiff, 197 to 79. Passing accuracy in favor of Cardiff, 73% to 70%. Aerial duels in favor of Fulham, 22 to 13. And fouls, 5 to 4. Cardiff had more fouls. All right, my friend, what do you make of these stats?
Well, I sort of touched on it at the start, really, that the stats, I feel, are a bit misleading. You know, you can take any set of stats and look at them and think, you know, cast your mind as to what sort of game that was. And you look at that and you think, well, actually, Cardiff had more of the play. They had more shots. You know, Fulham had slightly more on target and obviously won the game. So perhaps, you know, this is a game where Fulham were a bit lucky. But I don't think that's the case from this one. I don't think the stats do really bear it justice. I think the stats are kind of probably weighted from our first half performance where we were fairly negative, where Cardiff had, I would like to say Cardiff had the majority of their shots all in the first half. So I think second half, you know, we were considerably better. So I think it's a bit misleading because for me, second half, we must have dominated the possession because it was, you know, it was certainly Fulham's half. And likewise, obviously, in terms of shooting and on and off target. Of course, Cardiff had the one that hit the post in the first half we didn't mention previously, but it was really for them, it was a game of two halves, as Mike has also said. But I don't think we were so bad first half. It's just we were lifeless. That was a problem. Cardiff just were up for it more. So the stats, the only ones that count, as I said, is the fact that we got two goals, they got one. That's the real one that matters on the day. But
absolutely,
the fact we had more shots than them on target is also telling because I think they had a lot of hopeful shots. I can remember, I think their three shots on targets were the goal. There was also a very limp header, which was an easy catch for Bettinelli from that one. I'm trying to think what the other one was, but it may well have been in the first half as well. They may have had all three shots on target in the first half. So, as I say, I think the stats don't give the absolutely best sort of portrayal of the game, but the shots on target certainly. Yeah, and that was probably, let me think how we had those. We had two shots on the target, I think, in the first half and three in the second then, I would imagine, which is, we should have probably had more in the second half because, as I say, we were much more dominant. But, you know, that's how the game went and how the stats portray it on this case.
Yeah. No, David, listen, I actually, believe it or not, I have halftime stats and we had two shots on target. Very good call by you. And we also had 45% possession. So the possession didn't really change that much. That's what's actually kind of interesting to me. And Mike, I want to go to you because we talk about possession all the time, and we both want Fulham to have more possession, especially at home. This is kind of shocking that even though they dominated, for me, I was actually shocked by this. They dominated the second half, and they still only have 47% of the possession. That to me was a stat that just stood out just because I was shocked by it. What stats stand out to you?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, some people will complain, you know, you get 60% possession, which we, you know, we've been close to on a couple of times. But I think the difference, I mean, Dave's right, you know, we weren't bad in the first half, but we, you know, we weren't really creating much. And they had the ball an awful lot. But where I sit in the ground, most of the second half, the game was to my right. So we were attacking, you know, we had the ball the most. It got near our goal a few times, had a couple of corners, maybe a shot over the bar. But there was never any time really in the second half where I felt Cardiff were, you know, peppering us and giving it. It just wasn't like that. We were very dominant. But the difference was we played at a higher tempo. So whereas in other games we've had the ball a lot, we pass it around the back, goes forward, might come back again. The second half, you've got Fredericks as an outlet to get the ball forward quickly. LVC's energy when he came on. Heidman, who looks for the pass. And okay, a couple of them were off target yesterday and a bit too long. But I'm happy with players who are looking to play the ball early and not just punt it upfield. He's looking to play that pass. So that's the difference. You know, Jurcanovic wants to play a passing possession football, but he also wants to play at pace. And yesterday was probably, I don't know if Dave would agree, but it's probably the fastest we've played moving from the back to the front in any half
of this year, any half of a game this year. And that has to do with the personnel. And that's what he's been doing over the last, you know, half dozen games. He's got the team or his squad of players down to about 18 or 20 players who he seems to trust. And, you know, it's a pity it's taken him that long. But, you know, I think you saw some of the fruits of it yesterday. We weren't as dogged. We were playing much better football. So that's for me. It's the possessions that shows we had it more in the second half, but our transitional play was a lot quicker.
Very good, very good. Giannis, how about you? What stands out to you from the full-time stats?
Actually, I think I agree with David about the, you know, the stats look a little bit misleading there, considering the dominance of the second half. But Mike said something I thought was very interesting in terms of the movement from the back. And I think going on about this for a few years now, but one of the criticisms I've had of this club is our movement, even going back to Premier League days in that last year, a ponderous movement up the field and how slow it was and, you know, how deliberate it was and, you know, it was almost putting you to sleep. Whereas second half, it sounds like it was much, much quicker. And I think we've got the players to play that quick transitional game. We've got speed and skill to burn, but it's useless if you don't use it. Let's face it, if you slow the game down, you give the opposition the chance to drop and regroup and reassemble. So I'm delighted to see that we upped the pace in the second half. And it seemed to take its toll on Cardiff City. And it's something, not just for this game, we have to learn for next year. I mean, Mike talked about the 18 players we have now. I wouldn't be surprised if half of them aren't even here next year. But Slavica has his mind on his core. He knows who it is right now. And next year, he has to have players that are going to subscribe to that, I suppose, that philosophy of quick movement, quick passing, quick transition, everything done with speed. Speed kills, I tell players. SK, speed kills. And I was delighted to see that second half. And with five games to go in the season, and I think really all of them are winnable, let's keep subscribing to that, knowing now that really the pressure is off. We're more, to all intents and purposes, we're going to stay up. And then give a little bit more food for thought to Slavica in terms of the sort of players he wants to bring in and the sort of the style that he wants to enact. Let's not forget that Watford, when we played them last year, in Championship, were a very, very quick team. And they caused us all sorts of trouble. And if that's the philosophy that Slavica wants to bring in, brilliant.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's go on to rating the players. David, I'll give you the honors to rate the players. But before we start there, I do have a question for you because I've been thinking about it. You know, again, I'm just thinking about different things. And one of them is the loss of Tom Kearney in this match. And I was nervous going into this match. We really haven't talked about him not being available for this match because he's been a pretty important player for Fulham. So I want to ask you, because they were also missing Anthony Pilkington. I thought that was a significant loss for Cardiff City. I thought that might offset each other. But I want to ask you, because basically Emerson Hyman took the place of Hyman. I'm sorry, Emerson Hyman took the place of Kearney. How did that work out? I know that he was basically being played out of position. But I want to get your thoughts of Kearney not playing and how much of a loss, or was it not much of a loss in this match?
Well, we won the game, so it wasn't a devastating loss. As I said to you before, I think Hyman was probably the one that was most like Kearney in the way that we played, and when he was coming inside all the time off the flank like Kearney likes to do when we play the 4-4-2, and he came inside and that's when he was effective. When he was on the wing or when he was wide, he wasn't really effective at all, Hyman, but inside he did a great job and he was involved with a lot of our sort of creativity. So it wasn't such a big loss for me, really. I think, you know, things worked out. As I say, we won the game. What more can you ask for?
Right. No, good stuff, David. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Drop back off and come back on, my friend.
Okay.
So we can finish up the show. And that will allow me to go to you, Mike. And I don't need you to rate the players. I just want you to share your thoughts on the players in this match who stood out for you.
Who stood out? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Maddle did well first half. I haven't read why he went off at half-time, whether it was an injury or tactics, but I thought he did really well. But, I mean, obviously Parker, and, you know, he's the time he was on, especially second half, you know, he first half, a couple of passes, you know, easy passes, he put wider players, and he looked a bit tired, but I think he probably knew he was coming out second half for just for half a, you know, half of it, and he gave everything, and the goal he took, obviously, you know, and McCormick, I know I'm not one for praising McCormick that much, but I thought he worked really hard yesterday, did really good defensive job at one stage, filling in at left back after they broke, and Ince was he had a purple patch in the second half, 10-15 minutes where no one was getting the ball off him. He was winning everything, and what he's doing is he's laying it off to Hydman or Parker or whoever for them to do the you know, the glory stuff while he was doing all the mopping up. And then I have to say Hydman, he showed yesterday why I, out of the three of them, out of the three youth players we all went on about, Roberts, Dembele and Hydman, I've always said Hydman would be the one who plays for a top club, you know, talking Champions League type club. And he was out of position, but he had that Kearney sort of free roll to come inside and do what he did. And, you know, that little run he had and shot was great. And he did try a few passes, okay, that didn't come off. But, you know, second half he grew into the role. And I know Jukanovic wants to give him games and he wants him to stay. And now the pressure is off. I can see him starting every game now between, you know, up to the end of the season. So for them, yeah, all of them. And, you know, you could go through the team. You know, Stearman's second half was excellent. Fredericks came on, made a difference. LVC was great. So, it was another good team performance.
Team effort.
And, yeah, we've been reliant on Ross and Dembele to score the goals. But yesterday, you know, two central midfielders pop up and score. And I'm disappointed that not many people have commented about Dembele's little chip for Parker to score. I thought
it was great.
Farsi. Yeah, and, you know, he gets lots of criticism. He's lazy, doesn't contribute much. But, you know, he showed yesterday, you know, what a good team player he is. But if you're going to look for me to call a man in the match, are you, Russ?
Yes, I'm looking for full man of the match from you, Mike.
Right. Well, I'm going to give it to Ince because he did the
interesting.
You know, the mop. He did the mopping up and allowed Hydman and everyone else to get the glory. But really, we would have lost that game without Ince yesterday.
I love that. I love that you're going for what I would call a Dixon Atuhu type. And Dave and I have talked about this so many times. I wanted them to have someone like that, and sounds like Ince is really doing the job, doing that defensive midfielder job. The fact that you made him man of the match is excellent. All right, David, I'm going to go to you. Give me the ratings for the entire team and also your man of the match.
Well, Mike's stolen mine because I told Mike yesterday.
Wow,
that,
we're going Roy and Ince, both of you? That's excellent.
I told Mike after the game I was going to go for Ince as my man of the match, and he's copied me, so that's I claim foul play here, I think. We've been plagiarised. But anyway, in all seriousness, Bettinelli, I'm going to give him a 6. He had very little to do, really, in terms of the game. Couldn't do anything with the goal. Was sound, I think, on most stuff. Came out a couple of times and took, you know, claimed fairly comfortable balls. But, say, very little to do in the game, so 6 for me. Stearman, I thought, again, he looked a bit like a fish out of water at right back. He was more comfortable second half, I think, in the middle. I do question his positioning on their goal. He was beaten quite easily. It was a bit disappointing on that one. So I'm going to give him 6.5, actually, because I thought the second half he did a good job in the middle. Maddle, he was first half probably my man of the match. I thought he controlled the defence really well, stopped other dangerous situations evolving, got in there first, used the ball very well. But only he obviously played half a match. So for me, 7.5 for him would have been more, I guess, if he'd played the whole game. Amabieta, generally strong. There was one occasion where I think he committed himself a little bit, but can't really complain overall. He did his job, I think, pretty well. Apart from that, I'm going to give him 7. Garbutt, for me, he was one of the weaker links, to be honest with you. Didn't get forward a lot. There was I noticed in the time in the second half, he kind of committed himself once. He got himself booked on it as well, bad tackle. Question mark on whether he was, you know, culpable on the goal, whether he should have been tracking back more. I'm going to give him 5.5. Midfield, Tunnicliffe, I thought it was a very quiet game for him. Didn't get involved very much. It looked like he picked up a knock as well at one point. I'm going to give him 5.5 as well. Rowan Ince said my man of the match, 8 out of 10 for me. For him, he didn't do anything exciting particularly. Didn't do anything massively creative, but, you know, as Mike's already alluded to, he mopped up. He did the stuff that other people, you know, makes other people's jobs easier, like the Dixon Atiri role we talked about. Scott Parker, I'll give him 7. I don't think it was his best game overall. Some passes astray in the first half, and perhaps 3 games in a week started to take its toll, but fantastic finish for the goal for him. Heinemann, very quiet first half, apart from a couple of times he came inside. Second half, he came into his own a lot more. We saw the creativity from him that he can do as well. I'm going to give him 7.5 as well. Up front, Dembele, fairly quiet game. Had that chance, maybe. Had the one he put over the bar, the one where perhaps it was slightly behind him. Good little chip through, though, for Parker. 6.5 for me. McCormack, very busy, actually. As I say, I remember the left-back role that Mike talked about. He actually outpaced the attacker to the ball to make sure that we were safe. I thought generally a good game for him without a goal, unfortunately, on this occasion. But 7 out of 10 for me on that one. Fredericks, it's got to be a 7 out of 10 for, you know, that tackle and run on its own. But I think he just instilled a bit of, you know, a bit of liveliness to the team when he came on. We just took his lead and, you know, we started playing more like he does, you know, just bombing forward and stuff, taking a few risks perhaps, but being a bit more exciting. Likewise, I think I'd give Christian a 7 as well. Christensen, he made a good impact, fell on his feet straight away, no messing around, great assist for the goal. Baird, not going to rate him, wasn't on long enough, but, you know, he did his job fine.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Wow, we got 2 for Rohan Ince. I love that. I really do. I really love that. All right, guys, to finish up the show, I'm just going to get final thoughts from all 3 of you. I'm going to start with my friend Giannis. And Giannis, before I get your final thought, I just want to say one thing to you. Just thank you. You've been such a good friend this entire week, me going through some stuff. So I just want to thank you before we go any further.
Oh, listen, no need. I tweeted yesterday that the win yesterday was for your dad. And I know, you know, you and I spoke off the air, and you've had, for the listeners out there, I mean, I don't need to go into details, but Russ has had a quite horrible week. And I think I was one of the ones that said that had you not done the show this week, there's not one person that could have complained or had any concerns about it. I think it takes tremendous bravery for you, considering what I know now, to have gone through what you've gone through this week to actually host 2 shows is quite marvelous. And for the listeners out there that didn't appreciate what you do with this show, they bloody well better do now. It's funny, isn't it? Because you can go through the biggest heartaches and the biggest trials and tribulations. And it's funny how following your favorite football team and getting a win can lift the spirits and put a smile on your face for Monday morning. So I'm really glad they got the win, and I'm sure your dad's having a smile and a laugh right now. And I was really happy, and I know it's going to take you and your family time to get back over the week, get over the week you just had. But I know that I speak for all of us. Thoughts and prayers are there, and willing you on slowly but surely.
Thank you, Giannis. It's funny. This doing the show has been therapeutic. It's been helpful because I get to do it with my friends, and I get to take my mind off of what's going on with me personally, and I can just talk to my friends, and that's what I love to do. I love doing the show with you guys. It's an honor to do this show with you guys. So I wanted to continue to go on and keep on doing it. And David and I have talked several times about it. And I said, no, I want to do it because I knew it would be helpful for me to do it because I'd be talking to you guys. And I knew it would be helpful, and it has. So thank you to all three of you. Over to you, Mr. Greg. Any final thoughts?
I'd just say it's been a great week for Fulham, and I echo everything as well that Yanis has just said about yourself, Russ, and the show and the hard work you do. And so all our thoughts are with you and your family. And that's what we are. We're one big family, and Fulham family is a very happy place at the moment, and long may that continue. And we've got 5 games left. Let's see what we can get out of it, and let's see what Jokanović can build some momentum going into the summer. And let's see if we can somehow persuade Heidman and Dembele to stay. But that's my hope over the next few games. Those two players, they're the most important thing for me. What Jokanović has got to do for getting results, and that is somehow persuade those two to stay. But whether it happens or not, who knows?
Yeah, listen, it would be amazing if one of the two would stay. I'd be happy at that point. But I'm there with you, Mike. It would be great if they could both stay. We'll see what happens, you know. They're playing, obviously, Dembele's been playing regularly, and I expect Hyman to start playing regularly for the last 5 matches. So who knows? Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll want to stay. You never know. Because I think he's going to get the platform at the end of the season to play. I think he wanted to play. That's just my opinion. Now he's getting his chance. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll want to stay. Who knows? We'll have to see that. All right, David, your final thought, and then I'll share my final thought.
Well, no, it's just been a fantastic week for the team. Just what the doctor ordered for you, I think, really, Russ, to help you through this difficult time. You know, 3 wins for the boys in black and white, and a defeat for the other team in Fulham as well, just to put the icing on the cake, really. And so it's great that, you know, we have this forum to discuss Fulham, good or bad, and, you know, people love listening in even when things are bad, but on this occasion we've had some cheer to bring, you know, to share around and everything, and it's been great. But yeah, we're all friends together in this, whether we agree or not. Sometimes we don't always agree on everything, but, you know, that's the whole point of it, and everyone's put their view across, and I think, you know, it's working really well at the moment.
It is, David, and unfortunately for me, I think I probably had about a dozen Goldmans today. For whatever reason, I've been screwing up left and right. But it doesn't matter. It's been a great show because you guys have been great, and I just enjoy doing the show with you. My final thought involves this, because fans have been texting me more Goldmans, and reminding me that Fulham have now won 3 matches, meaning, David, 2 more matches, and I will never let you hear the end of it if they win 5 to end the season. That is my final thought, my friend. I'm sorry. I had to mention that at the end.
I know. If the roles are reversed, don't worry. I would be rubbing your nose in it as well if I got the chance.
All right. Great. Great. Great show, guys. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys have been excellent friends. I can't thank you enough for doing this show. Let's wrap it up. For David, Yanis, and Mike, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Mike. Bye, Yanis. Bye, Yanis' cat.